From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Soul Survivor. The amazing story of a young boy who his parents and others now believe is a reincarnated World War II fighter pilot. But first, doctors treating dog and cat bites should be aware of the risks of MRSA infection. We've been talking about this bacteria. This according to U.S. researchers, and they are warning doctors to beware. In Lancet Infectious Diseases, they reviewed existing evidence on infection risks from domestic animal bites. Here's the big story. The MRSA is not a common strain of the bacteria in the animals, but they're seeing more and more of it. They think that when the animal, the dog or cat, bites a human, that's how they get it. They're getting it from us. Apple boss, that's the computer giant, Steven Jobs, received apparently a liver transplant about 2 months ago and is expected to return to work later this month. The Wall Street Journal said the Apple executive is returning to his job on schedule, but may initially work part-time. Now, neither Mr. Jobs nor the company is confirming that story. In Washington, D.C., what a horrible situation. One Metro Transit train smashes into the rear of another at the height of the capital city's evening rush hour, killing at least six people, injuring scores of others as the front end of the trailing train jackknifed violently into the air and then fell atop the first one. It's a horrible story in the nation's capital. A strong earthquake jolted Anchorage, Alaska on Monday, sending people diving under desks and huddling in doorways, but apparently causing no major damage. The U.S. Geological Survey said an earthquake with a magnitude of 5.4 struck about 24 miles from the town of Willow. The epicenter was 58 miles from the state's largest city, Anchorage. And the summer months are always the most dangerous for lightning strikes. But this June is shaping up to be unusually fatal, they say. So far this month, there have been 11 deaths in the United States. By comparison, there were 8 fatalities just last June. Lightning strikes more than 400 people each year in the United States, and about 60 of those lead to death, according to the National Weather Service. July is the big month for most of these. Geologist Jim Berkland, suspended from a California government geology job when he made a prediction that a major quake would occur during the 1989 World Series in the Oakland Bay Area. He was right. He's on the line with us now. Jim, the earthquakes continue. The strange weather continues, doesn't it?
Boy, it does. And I would expect it with the combination of the tides from the summer solstice, today's new moon, and the closest approach of the moon, second closest for the year. And that combines to make the highest tides at the Golden Gate of the year, and within 0.3 of a foot of being the maximum possible there. So all of this puts a lot of load and rapid change of load on the Earth's crust and helps to explain this recent rush of 3 and 4 magnitude quakes in Southern California and the Anchorage quake. So I'm expecting still before the end of the month there will be a major quake. The only major quake last month was in the May window.
I was talking to Mitch Batros last week,
yes, and I
want to get you and him together,
yes,
and get into this in a deeper way, because I think you're both correct. I think the big one is coming, Jim.
Well, that eclipse of the sun, back in 99, a total eclipse went across the Atlantic in southern England and France, and I warned people that as it passed over Turkey and India, where it ended in the Indian Ocean, that India and Turkey were really under the gun, and 6 days later, a devastating quake hit Izmit, Turkey.
Jim, give out your website because you're the only human being that knows how to pronounce it.
Syzygy. It's Syzygy Job, J-O-B. You spell it S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y-J-O-B. And today is the day of Syzygy, the day of the new moon, and almost perfectly lined up because in the next three Syzygies will all be eclipses, including the longest solar eclipse of the century.
Absolutely. And I tell you, Jim Berkland hits these things right on the head. A North Korean flagship under close watch in Asian waters is believed to be heading now toward Myanmar, that is the former Burma, carrying small arms cargo banned under a new UN resolution. Still, analysts say that a high-speed inspection, something North Korea has said it would consider an act of war, is unlikely. Riot police attacked hundreds of demonstrators with tear gas and fired live bullets into the air to disperse a rally in central Tehran Monday, carrying out a threat by the country's most powerful security force to crush any further opposition protests over the disputed presidential election. Britain, accused by Iran of pushing the post-election unrest, said it was evacuating the families of diplomats and other officials based in Iran. They're the first country to do so as Iran's most internal conflict since the 1979 Islamic Revolution escalated. Hossein Hejazi has worked in the media, and we turn to him for information and advice and his expertise on this situation. Well, as we talked last week, this continues to fester, Hossein.
Yes, it does. And today, as you mentioned earlier, there has been a huge crackdown on the people and the students and the women who were participating in this rally. And it was all crashed down by the security and the other group of people, the Basijis, who are very, very savage, and they do things that no human can do. And one of the most bothersome scene was this 23-year-old lady who was killed. She was a student of philosophy in Tehran University. She was shot in the heart with one of these Basijis who was on the top of a roof, and she passed out immediately. And her picture has been taken with the student and has been sent to the through the internet to everywhere. And it's mind-boggling and so, sad to see his face, this beautiful young woman who was killed, and has been a big, big backlash toward the regime. And this is one of the things which is, where a lot of commentators are thinking that is going to be a big deal, and it's going to be more damaging to the regime of Iran.
I was going to say, what do your sources tell you, Hossein, as this continues? What do they tell you?
Well, they are telling us that this is a clash between two group of people, two powerful men in the regime. One is Mr. Rafsanjani, who used to be president in the past for two terms, and he has a huge supporter in Iran. And one is Ayatollah Khamenei, who is the supreme leader. And they have two camps that they are fighting with each other. Khamenei has the support of the guard, the Revolutionary Guard, and the Basijis and those people. And also, he has the support of the disfranchised and poor people that he has been bribing them for the last few months and earlier than that, and giving them money, giving them some food, giving them even potato, and you name it. And these are the supporters mostly from the rural area and the people who are poor. And with all the propaganda that we see from the media, the government-controlled media, they have been brainwashing the people to tell them that this is the best kind of president that you may find. And with there is no chance of redoing the election, but all these reformists are pushing on that, and we have one of the biggest development that we heard today is the announcement of one of these grand ayatollahs that has announced for next week 3 days of mourning, national mourning, public mourning for the death, who the regime is claiming is only 17 people, while the numbers are coming out of Iran from the other sources that we have is adding up those numbers to 150 more.
Okay, we'll keep monitoring this situation with you, Hossein. Some analysts are also now doubting the authenticity of the election of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, so we'll continue to watch that as well. A surprisingly bleak forecast for the world economy pushed stocks to their biggest loss in 2 months. The grim assessment punctured hopes being built up over the past few months that the economy was starting to emerge from recession. Investors began driving stocks sharply higher in early March, encouraged by the modest improvements in housing, manufacturing, and even unemployment. All that's starting to erode away. President Barack Obama has admitted that he spent his adult life fighting the smoking habit. Then he signed the nation's toughest anti-smoking law, aimed at keeping thousands of other teens from getting hooked, they say. The president praised the historic legislation, which gives the FDA unprecedented authority to regulate what goes into tobacco products, to make the public, the ingredients, aware of what's in there, and to provide marketing campaigns geared toward children. There is a story going all over the internet, and I wanted to warn you about it. Snopes says it's not true, but this has to do with criminals in the U.S. are using a plant-type substance called burundanga. They soak it in business cards to incapacitate their victims. This is what the rumor on the internet says. A woman is pumping gasoline at a gas station. Some guy gets out of a car and goes up to her and says, "Hey, I'd like to paint your house. I do all these services." Well, to be friendly, she takes his business card because she says, "No, I'm not too interested," but takes the business card. Well, apparently this business card has been laced with this soaked type drug. She is driving away, and this individual who's in the car of somebody else, as they follow her, she starts to get groggy and weak and is very dangerous, very serious, they say. Well, this woman, this is, again, an internet rumor, pulls up to a driveway and starts honking the horn, and the two men apparently just kept driving away. Now, this is an internet story. Does it have any basis to it? Most likely not. Snopes says it's not true, but just be on guard if anybody comes up to you and just offers you a business card. As you know, on this program, for years now, we've been following the story of a little boy whose parents and now others believe might be a reincarnated World War II pilot. This hour, Dr. Bruce Goldberg will be our guest. He's an expert on hypnosis and reincarnation. Next hour, I will talk with the parents of the little boy, and we've got an interview with the little boy as well. But up next, Dr. Bruce Goldberg on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Dr. Bruce Goldberg, an expert in hypnosis. He specializes in reincarnation, and every time we have the topic of reincarnation on this program, I like to turn to Dr. Bruce Goldberg for his advice and expertise as well. And he, too, has been following the story, this incredible story of this young boy who many believe is a reincarnated World War II pilot. Bruce, this is truly an incredible story.
Yes, it is. And I want to thank you for your inviting me on the show this evening. And also, I appreciate also the latest blurb that you gave to my newest book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension.
Absolutely.
Parallel Universes, Teleportation, Out-of-Body Travel. And by the way, you and Dexter Monterey are in the book. So when you get your copy, just see, I'll point it out to you.
Dexter being the future me.
We're going to talk about the idea of reincarnation, especially in children, and the significance of that because, you know, people, especially people who are either skeptical in the field or not really new ages or really into this so much, they figure that, well, an adult can be exposed to information from history and doing research, and then even though they may not purposely try to fudge something, they may give information that they would simply incurred by their own normal behavior and their own normal reading habits. But when a child does something, especially a young child, then it becomes a lot more credible. For example, there is a term that's used in the field. It's called xenoglossy, spelled with an X. And xenoglossy is the speaking and or writing of a foreign language that the individual has no awareness of, no training in. Now, that's exotic enough as an adult, but years ago, I worked with a five-year-old child who was from a Scotch-Irish background, okay? His family, he was five. He was just an inner-city child, not well-educated parents. And this kid was speaking, I speak German from my training in college, and he was speaking a German dialect, but it was a very odd one. So I brought in a language expert from a local university. This kid was speaking a medieval German dialect that is no longer used. He was also given historical information that was verified by historians as well as my own research. And this kid was 5 years old, and you don't get that by watching Saturday morning cartoons.
No, not at all. And in this particular case, Bruce, I'm going to play a portion of the interview next hour that I did with a little boy. He is in the central time zone in Louisiana, so he's asleep now. Mm-hmm. But several hours ago, he stayed up with his father, and he allowed us to interview the little boy, James. I'll play a portion of that. You're right. Children are innocent, aren't they?
Well, not only that, but there's another thing that, James's case illustrates from the little that I read about him is that he apparently had some nightmares about this, I guess about the death scene during the pilot time in 1945.
Yeah, he didn't know exactly what they were, but he did have some nightmares.
Well, this is important because, first of all, dreams are the most common initial memories of past lives for children or adults.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also going to refer to the research of the late Professor Ian Stevenson. Professor Ian Stevenson
right.
from the University of Virginia for over 50 years was on the Carlson Fellowship. Carlson was the developer of the Xerox machine, and he was a New Ager to the nth degree and gave a foundation grant to Ian Stevenson, the University of Virginia, for many years. Stevenson died a couple of years ago, but what his research showed, and this goes back, his early book was in the early 60s on this, 20 Cases Suggestive of Reincarnation, was that children between the ages of 2 and 5 have the most natural memories of past lives. After the age of 5, they tend to get, indoctrinated by the school system, and the parents are saying, don't do that anymore. You know, they try to get discouraged, the child. But between 2 and 5, and wasn't James 2 when he got his first memories?
Yeah, right around there.
Okay, so the perfect age for it. Secondly, you have another issue that comes up. I was looking at the, I went to their website, and I noticed that James himself resembles the James Houston that he lived
mm-hmm.
in. Okay? Plus, the first name is the same, interesting enough. See, what parents don't understand, and for all the parents out there, listen carefully. You don't name your children. They name themselves.
That's true.
They do it in utero. You get the intonation. You say, gee, wouldn't Charlie be a great name for this kid? It comes from the child, from his soul. So, but interesting, have the same name. Now, another thing that's very interesting about children and about reincarnation and the idea of this is that you often get the concept of birthmarks. I've had patients who, both children as well as adults, who, for example, would have an unusual congenital birthmark on the neck, and they were stabbed in the neck in their past life, and that's how they died.
Okay.
And Stevenson's work also, the late Professor Stevenson, also showed that there's a physical resemblance that carries over, as well as he did a lot more work with the birthmarks, too. So here are some cues that the universe, or the system, if you will, the whole reincarnation cycle, is trying to give us little hints that, yes, there is a life after death, and there is a concept of reincarnation. By the way, reincarnation is the oldest philosophy in man's history. It goes back over 300,000 years ago. Neanderthal man buried their dead. They painted the bones red, which is an okra, a red color, and they put instruments in there for their future life. And the Egyptians, of course, copied that M.O., and so we have 300,000 years of reincarnation. If it's something that somebody made up, it would have lasted about an hour and a half. Okay, so this is the oldest philosophy, and it's a part of every single culture. Every civilization, every culture has a concept of reincarnation.
I enjoyed talking to the little boy. He was so innocent, Bruce. Mm. And he's 11 years old now, and he just, it's remarkable at how this has evolved for him. Everyone will have a chance to hear the interview, but
just curious, when you spoke with him, did he have a natural couple things? I wondered if he had a fear of heights, number one, and or a natural interest in planes in the military.
Natural interest in planes in the military. Ever since he was a little boy, he mm-hmm. would go to museums and places like that. Truly remarkable. And he knew things about this plane, and I'll get into it with the parents, that nobody knew other than pilots.
Yeah.
It was just strange. You've looked at, how many patients now?
Well, I've worked with over 15,000 patients, and I've regressed the number of past life regressions and future life progressions, developing the field of progression therapy, has been now over 35,000.
How long does it take for this reincarnated soul, Bruce, to evolve and go into the next human body?
Well, it depends on the century. For example, in the last, say, 60, 70 years, or 2 or 3 generations, it's about 20 years between lives on the average. Some people, for example, died in the Vietnam War and reincarnated within literally weeks after that. And that's usually a mistake because they come back very traumatic and they're usually not very good lives. If you go back into the last century, it was about 75 years in between lives. If you go back into the 1700s, it was about 125 years between lives, my research shows. So today, things are speeding up. They're, you know, the opportunities are there. You also have a group karma situation that you have to also take in consideration. When you reincarnate, you can be blackballed, literally, by any member of the family that you reincarnate into. They have a chance to say yay or nay on whether your soul comes into the body of a newborn or the fetus, developing fetus.
Let's talk more about this, Bruce, when we come back. Dr. Bruce Goldberg's website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com, drbrucegoldberg.com. We'll also take some phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Soul Survivor, will be talking with the parents of little James Leininger, Bruce, and Andrea. It's an incredible story, the reincarnation of a World War II fighter pilot. And when we come back, we'll continue chatting with Dr. Bruce Goldberg and take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We've got Dr. Bruce Goldberg with us. We'll take your phone calls as well. Bruce, do you find people during these kinds of time periods that we're in, economic stress and things, does the information change with regards to the person who's been reincarnated? Does that have any effect on them?
Well, it's their own karmic purpose, whatever their role is. People who, for example, people choose their karma. So you can forget about the concept of like, well, it's a bad universe, or, you know, their parents didn't like them, or they didn't have enough strokes. You choose the parents, even though you choose maybe difficult situations. The purpose of it is to learn, to grow, and to perfect the soul for the eventual ascension. So when it comes to like people who were born during the Great Depression, for example, or people who were born during the economic boon times, for example, these are chosen. So there is kind of a universe. There's like a country karma. There's a universe's karma. There's a planetary karma, and then there's your own individual karma. And karma is not a bad thing. It simply means it's like a syllabus in school. If you pass the courses, you graduate, and it's a long, tedious process. True. But it's something that is doable, and that's what people need to understand rather than just giving up. For example, I don't believe in suicide. That's a terrible choice, not because of the religious reasons, but because if you do that, you're going to come back with interest and penalties with all the lessons you didn't learn in the previous life.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Plus, you're going to wind up in the lower astral plane for a long time with some very nasty entities that are not going to treat you very well either. So you want to live out your life, and you want to empower yourself. And this is where, look, my whole work is based on training people to access their higher self. For example, I just got a couple of emails from your listeners. People want to experience this. On September 26th in Ontario here in Southern California, Los Angeles County, I'm going to be doing a past life regression full-day workshop where people can actually get the experience to do this themselves, to learn how to do this, to do soul healing, to access your higher self, and to actually take charge of your life. And that's really the key here is reincarnation itself is what I call a modality of psychic empowerment. Here are three benefits. Number one, you remove the fear of death. Number two, you can eliminate bad habits and phobias, what I call self-defeating sequences, self-sabotage, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing is you can accelerate your own spiritual growth. Find out your karmic purpose. Why are you supposed to be here? What about ties? What about people in your life right now? Were they involved in past lives? Were they positive or negative? How you can improve your life now without drugs, without codependencies, without making the same mistakes over and over again? That's the advantage of reincarnation and past life therapy. And then my, obviously, approach is taking people into the future to lay out the options and let them choose their ideal path. So I call the new you technique about custom design your own destiny too. But the point here is that there's nothing to be afraid of, and there's nothing evil or negative about this. This is, remember, this has been a part of human nature for over 300,000 years conservatively. So this is something that everybody wins unless you don't do it. And then you lose because you are now living in ignorance and you have really, you just struggle and go through life. And most people today, as you look around, are struggling and they're not doing that well. America is a very depressed country, not just because of the economic situation. This occurred long before last September or going back 2 years or 3 years. People have always had problems. Look at the drug use where 5% of the world's population and with a market for 50% of the illegal recreational drugs. That's a problem.
It sure is. Let's take a few calls while we continue to chat this hour, Bruce. Colorado Springs, Kevin, west of the Rockies. Hey, Kevin, go ahead.
Good evening. I, first of all, have always had somewhat of a belief in reincarnation. And before I forget, George, I'm blind, and I've been trying to find some of your books through the Talking Book Library. And for you and Mr. Goldberg both, I was wondering if you could see about putting your books into the Talking Library system.
Okay, I'll check that out with the publisher. I know we have an audiobook for Worker in the Light. Bruce, what about yours?
I don't have that yet. I'm working on that. That's a good idea. I've had many requests for that, so I am definitely working on that project.
Okay, and go ahead, Kevin.
My main question would be, you talked about you choosing your destiny, and you have your different videos and tapes and CDs about past life regression. I guess what I'm wondering is, how can I go about finding the right CD tape for me, because I have a hard time believing that I've chosen this destiny
There are two things I'd recommend. One is that, and this is, again, for the audience, if you want to explore time travel, if you want to go back into your past life, the earliest stage of this life I call age regression. If you want to explore the future of this life, I call age progression, or future lives, future life progression, accessing the higher self, then the program you're referring to is called the Hypnotic Time Travel CD album. But in your case, I would definitely recommend that. But there's another thing I'd also recommend, and that is to custom design your own destiny. Because I know, look, I can't even imagine, I can't even fantasize what it would be like to be blind. It's 80% of our world is blind, and I really feel for you, my friend. But there are parallel universes out there where you may, in fact, not be blind. And the custom design your own destiny option will give you the idea to see what the other options are, and then you can learn how to switch tracks literally. And you may wake up one morning and not be blind, have the same genetic composition, but have a very different lifestyle, because you won't have the same handicap that perhaps you have right now.
Thanks, Kevin. I think you said 80% of the world population is blind.
No. 80% of our senses, of our world that we perceive, our sensation of the world is through our visual.
Okay. All right.
Okay, 80%.
Gotcha.
That's what I mean. Not 80% of the world.
Gotcha.
Blind.
I was going to say, that's a high figure.
Okay.
Let's go to Oklahoma. First-time caller, Mark, you're up with us. Hi, Mark.
Hey.
Yeah, go ahead.
How you guys doing?
All is well.
I got one question for each of you.
Okay.
And I need a separate. Do you think time travel will be possible in the next 10 years?
Well, that's a very easy answer, Mark, and the answer is no.
And I'll say no.
And
now you go ahead.
And I'll back it up scientifically. Look, I'm a scientist, too. This isn't just, you know, put your hands on a rock and take people into a past life. The only way you're going to have time travel initially is by enlarging a wormhole. Kip Thorne from Caltech University here in Pasadena in the Southern California area mapped out the actual mathematical model for it 20 years ago in the Physical Review Letters, 1988, September issue. It's been challenged for the last 20 years. Nobody's touched it as far as trying to discredit it. We need exotic matter. We're not going to have exotic matter. We've tried. There's no way we're going to get it. It's not going to be discovered until approximately the year 3050 by a man named Tatos, T-A-A-T-O-S, which I've written about in my Egypt and my Time Travel Smart Future book. Any scientist right now will tell you that there's no way you're going to be able to build a time machine. Yes, it's been hypothesized. Yes, people have claimed it, to see ads for it and stuff like that. Well, you know, I got news for you. Send me a time machine, and we'll test it out. It's not going to happen for 1,000 years. There's too much technical aspects of it that it's not a question of violating causality. It really wouldn't. The question is, it's simply a matter of technology, exotic matter, enlarging wormholes that are microscopic to us today, and all the things that need to be done to actually protect the particular chrononauts, as we call them, that will travel through time. So it's just not going to happen. So, George, you can handle your end of it.
I agree with you. I don't think it's going to happen in 10 years. Eventually, it could very well happen. What do you think, Bruce, of the John Teeter 2036 time traveler story?
Well, we've gone through this more times than I care to, but it's let's put it this way. It's not true. You can use any other adjective to describe it. You can be as angry or as neutral as you want, but there was, you even wrote an expose on it in 2005 in the January issue of After Dark, okay?
Yep.
It's a joke. You know, there's no corporations, but he's got a General Motors check. You know, if he goes back to Florida when he's 2 years old and kind of hugs himself, if he touches himself in Florida from the future, you're going to have an annihilation reaction. You're going to have a nuclear explosion in Florida. I mean, it's a joke. And I don't think in 2036.
Don't hold back, Bruce.
And I don't think in 2036 they need a 1975 computer. And to make it even more permanent, to make my point even clearer, guess what? He left in March of 2001. Hey, Teeter. Hey, buddy. How about telling us about 9/11? Have a nice life up there, okay? I mean, give me a break. The guy, it's a complete joke. It's a scam. It's an insult. And other than that, I have no opinion, George.
Let's go. Yeah, right. Let's go to Rockholds, Kentucky, east of the Rockies. Eddie, go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Bruce.
How you doing?
I've got a comment and actually a question tonight.
Sure.
My comment is, this show tonight actually sparked a memory from when I was in the first grade. I went to school with a boy. His name was Danny, and he was like Oriental.
Mm-hmm.
And he always told us when we were playing that he used to be in the Army. He used to be a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did, you know, take any weight on that until now.
Very, very possible.
Well, now, understand one thing. Now, he may not necessarily, if he was Asian, let's say Japanese, just for argument's sake, he may not necessarily have fought for Japan in World War II, for example. You do change races. You change sexes. Although three-quarters of your lives are the same sex. You can be male, female. You can be rich, poor. You can be whatever race, color, or creed in any life. So don't assume that the person, just because they're a certain race, is going to be a certain race in their subsequent lives.
And various centuries, too, Bruce.
That's right. Absolutely. In fact, I did a very dynamic past life regression on the old Jenny Jones show of this woman from the inner city of Chicago. She was a black woman, a very nice, sweet person. And she said, I was shocked because I was a Greek, blonde, blue-eyed girl in Athens in, like, you know, 2,200 years ago. And the last thing she expected to be a Zulu warrior or something, you know. And she didn't understand the concept at the time. She wasn't well-read, which is actually gives more credibility to the field. You know, back in 1994, CBS aired my TV movie, The Search for Grace, about a very documented case of reincarnation about a woman who was obsessively attracted to a man who tried to murder her on three different occasions and successfully murder her in 20 of 46 past lives. And this was a very intimate case where certain facts she gave were not corroborated by newspaper reports. Subsequent research showed that the reporters were wrong and she was right. And just like this case that you're going to discuss next hour, there's lots of documented cases out there. You can't prove anything. You can only give, the term is, in science we use the term suggestive evidence. But guess what? There's enough suggestive evidence to fill up trucks in this field, okay? There's a lot of good data coming into this field to show that not only is it documentable or verifiable, but also in my particular case, obviously I use this for therapeutic purposes too, in addition to all the fun stuff that people deal with. And for the benefit of your listeners too, I'd like them to actually try this. On my website, there is an Access the Akashic Records exercise. That's the one I use to get Dexter Monterey, you know, your future life. And if they don't have a computer, and please, only if you don't have a computer, if you call my 1-800-KARMA-4U, that's K-A-R-M-A, the number 4, the letter U, or 1-800-527-6248, I'll send you a packet which will include the Access the Akashic Records exercise, and you can find out your own past or your future or even a parallel life, and you can do it yourself and get a nice little sneak preview of what we're talking about rather than just hearing about it or reading about it.
Bruce, some people still have a very difficult time with the possibility that the mother is now the son, or the daughter is the father. People can't handle that.
Well, think of it this way. It's a good point. The point is we're dealing with the soul. The signal that you're sending out through the satellites now, a radio signal, and this applies to TV signal, this is electromagnetic radiation, okay? It's most of the radiation in the universe is electromagnetic radiation. It's harmless radiation, by the way. And your soul, which some people could call dark matter or shadow matter, a physicist would do that. Your soul is actually electromagnetic radiation. We've got work from Dr. Tiller in Stanford. We've got Rupert Sheldrake in England. We've got plenty of people to support this scientifically. So what the soul is sexless. It's energy. It's not male. It's not female. If your mother in this life was your wife in a past life, it's not karmic incest. It's karma. It's just simply energy occupying a certain body. So therefore, that's why when people change sexes, you don't all of a sudden become gay or homosexual because you go from male to female or female to male. No, you change sexes occasionally to learn karmic lessons. So think of the soul as simply energy and don't label it as something as a no-no or some sort of forbidden mentality because of society's little rules. Society doesn't deal with the only rules that count, which to me are universal laws.
Let's go to California, west of the Rockies. Karen, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello, Karen.
Hello. I don't believe in what this fellow is saying about reincarnation.
Tell me why.
Because first he gave an example of the people from the past coming into these babies and they're being born. There's not enough souls from the past because everybody's increasing in number. You never have enough to fill it in.
Well, yes, you do. Let me show
no,
you.
No, you don't, because if you start with five people and you end up with 50,000 people,
if you
can't fill anything in. And besides, it's all the occult. It's devils and lost souls. It has nothing to do with reincarnating yourself. You don't have any power. If you had power, you'd be living the high life and nobody would be sick.
Okay, George, let me comment on the idea of the idea of the population. A soul is energy. So think of electromagnetic radiation as energy. Think of energy just like if you put a piece of wood in front of a light beam, it splits into two parts or three or four. Well, a soul occupying three bodies, okay, at one time, if you extrapolate each of those subsouls, as we call that, occupying three more bodies, and just using three as a number, in 13 generations, one soul would occupy over 1.5 million bodies. So it's very easy on a mathematical permutation to show how the initial souls, just a few thousand of them, a couple of million years ago, could be occupying 6.5 billion people with plenty to spare.
There was a movie with Julia Roberts, I think.
Oh, Premonition, you mean?
Was that it where the Hall of Souls, or there was someplace was running out of souls. So it was an incredible story. The Guff, they called it.
Oh, okay.
The Guff.
Well, remember, you go back into history, you've got the Hall of Los, you know, Robert Blake, the famous painter, and
Julia Roberts.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about an actor now, I'm talking about a painter.
Yeah.
A sculptor back in about a couple hundred years ago who did Jacob's Ladder, you know, that.
Yeah.
Well, he wrote about something called the Hall of Los, which was really describing the astral plane, where the astral museum, where you could see inventions of the future, where you could see people's lives and you could lay them out. Look, it's a philosophical thing. I'm not trying to give dogma to people, unlike a lot of religions and other groups. I'm just simply quoting universal laws. These are things that, if something is phony, if something is a joke or a scam, believe me, it wouldn't last 300,000 years. It wouldn't last 6,000 years of written history. It would have gone. It would have been bye-bye. And there's a reason why every single culture, including all the religions, they all have, you trace the history back, you're going to find reincarnation as a component. And there's a very good reason. It's because I think it represents the truth.
And Western religion is probably so far behind some of the other religions in terms of understanding this.
But reincarnation actually is a part. In my first book, Past Lives, Future Lives, I give quotes from the very famous Christian writer Origen, who is the second most respected Christian writer in history, second to St. Thomas Aquinas or St. Augustine, depending on who you vote for. He wrote about reincarnation like you wouldn't believe. The early Christian fathers were meditating. They'd go out into the desert and meditate. They believed in reincarnation. The reincarnation kicked out of the Catholic Church was done by Justinian, a Roman emperor, a secular man, not the Pope. The Pope, actually, Virgilius, was tortured, eventually killed or died because of it, because he wouldn't sign the anathema. So this is a long history of where it was misinterpreted. There really is no real problem. Reincarnation is not the work of the devil or anything else. It's simply a matter of life. I mean, if people think that you could come into a life for the first time in history and then live in the 21st century, you would go absolutely – imagine a caveman – the equivalent of a caveman and then reincarnating in the 21st century with nothing in between, or just beginning your first life in the earth plane in this century with all the technology and all the strange things happening, you couldn't adapt to it. You'd have to have a certain gradation by going through these various time eras. It's like the schoolhouse system, we call this. You go from simple to more complex, and then eventually you can live in a more complicated society and survive without going absolutely crazy. And so that's where reincarnation fits in.
Bruce, a minute ago, what recommendations would you give the parents of this little boy? The parents were about to speak
I would
to.
Recommend that they simply encourage him. They allow him to get more and more. Let him go through regression therapy himself. Let him find out as much information about this. Let him explore. And if he's got natural interest in planes and whatever, if he wants to join the Air Force eventually, let him do his thing. Do not inhibit him. This is a quest. This is a karmic aspect. I think the universe, and you call it the God energy complex, whatever you want to say, has given him a gift and has given them a reason to have this information come out. Not every child in this country, you know that, will have this kind of mentality. So when you have a gift, you want to use it. It's any kind of gift is a terrible thing to waste. So I think they should just encourage him. And obviously with the book and all the publicity they're doing, they're not hiding this at all. They've obviously laid this out and researched it. And to me, just, you know, Don't let the naysayers, like the last caller, dissuade you. You're going to get criticisms. I took my shots when I developed progression therapy, too. But just keep on doing it and allow the universe to do its thing and educate the public. Believe me, we need more of this.
Good advice, Bruce. We'll be back now with the parents of James Leininger, sole survivor, next on Coast to Coast AM.